Greetings, couch potatoes across the country, around the world, and on the internet. I'm Kevin Carr.
And I'm Neil Miller, and you're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies, and we're back for another week of movies that
I
haven't seen.
And I am healthy.
You are healthy. You're actually very lucky that you are there in Ohio and not here in Austin, Texas, where the some sort of Fantastic Fests cold slash flu slash super AIDS has broken out.
Wow. And it's in the air.
It's
really
that infecting all of us and everyone.
It's a mixture of swine flu and super AIDS.
Yeah,
really?
I'm pretty sure it is. It's infecting everyone. I'm pretty sure that it's all the fault of Rob Hunter. He was one of the writers from Film School Rejects who was staying with us. He was the first one to get sick. He was patient zero, and then everybody else is sick. But I'm okay today. I missed screening a couple's retreat this week.
I don't think you can blame being sick.
Various reasons. Let's just—I mean—we'll just say that it's sickness. No?
We can blame it, but no? Yeah, I don't all think
right,
it's going
to
fly.
I'm not getting away with that.
Well, that's because Rob Hunter's from a coastal city where you get all those international bugs coming in because he had to fly, right?
You get like the super swine flu. Yeah, no, he didn't drive from San Francisco.
Yeah, and then he came in and made out with everybody.
I know. Well, he's making out with Dr. Colobias, and I think that's pretty much what did it. So
why? Because Colobias is the guy you pass around to. I mean, what is this?
I don't really know. I was busy doing Fantastic Fest stuff, and so anyway, here's how you can get a hold of Fat Guys at the Movies if you so desire. After all of that, FatGuysTheMovies.com. You can get us over on iTunes. Just search Fat Guys at the Movies. And for the various people who have emailed us about the Fat Guys at the Movies logo on iTunes, it works. I checked it. You might want to get some glasses. You can email us.
You know, I did have to extend my condolences to a listener because he said he couldn't see the logo, and I'm like, it makes me feel bad that they can't, you know, experience my complete awesomeness.
It really is a full experience when you see that logo for the first time. You can email us, fatguys@filmschoolrejects.com, and leave us a voicemail. Area code 614-388-8735. I checked the voicemail this week, Kevin, and Nothing? Nada. Apparently people found out that I wasn't checking it, and so now they're just not calling.
Well, they're just reaching me directly on Twitter.
Oh, well, yeah. You can also go...
I am the man.
You can go onto Twitter and get us. You can get Kevin at twitter.com/KevinCarr. You get me at twitter.com/rejects.
Oop.
It's plural.
Oop. Yeah.
Anyway, so what are we doing this week? We're going to talk about Couples Retreat? That should be fun.
Well, we can talk a little bit about... it's Halloween. Well, we'll talk a little bit about this maybe in the next segment, because the next segment's longer, and we can review the movies. Let's go ahead and start with Couples Retreat then.
Sure.
Yeah, I just went off the path and came right back on. I'm sorry. I'm just giving you problems.
Anyway, four couples take a vacation to a tropical paradise for some not-so-routine therapy sessions.
What are you waiting for, an assist from me on reading the blurb about this?
Nah, well, I paused.
Oh, okay.
It's a small technical issue. Anyway, you saw this movie, right?
Yeah. Okay. Well, we'll go. Let's play the trailer first.
Well, a small deal.
Jason and I are seriously considering getting a divorce.
And that is why we are going to go here.
It's Disneyland for adults.
You guys are going to have a blast.
Actually, we have found a great group rate.
This looks like a screensaver.
They got fish that you can see through the floor.
Welcome to Eden, your itinerary.
Couple skill building at 6 a.m.
I think there's a misunderstanding here. We signed up for the fun stuff.
You either partake of the entire package or have none of it.
Now, everyone who's seen the trailer, you know, it's loaded with people who, you know, names. It's got Vince Vaughn, Jon Favreau, Jason Bateman, Faison Love. They play all the guys. Jean Renault plays the guru at the retreat.
And then, of course, the professional. He doesn't like knock anybody off, does he? Because that'd be awesome.
He does not shoot anybody through the peephole in a door.
Oh man,
which was disappointing. You know, I really expected that, but yeah, I don't think they don't have any real doors there. They're on a tropical island. It's all bamboo.
Oh, fair enough.
So, but the ladies, it's Kristen Davis, Kristen Bell, and Malin Ackerman, and some black girl that I don't know, but she's totally hot.
Callie Hawk, is that her name?
Is that who it is? I don't know. She's not like really famous. She's pretty new to this game.
Yeah.
But she's like 20 and everybody else is older. Like Kristen Davis is in her 40s and she looks fantastic in her 40s.
Well, you know.
I'm a big fan of Kristen Davis.
Well, hey, you know, somebody's got to be.
I'm a big fan of the Kristens. You know, I used to be like all about the Jessicas, you know, because you had Jessica Biel, Jessica Alba.
Are you creating now a Kristen Troika?
I need to come up with a third Kristen, though. A third
Kristen Bell. Kristen Davis. Kristen Dunst.
Kristen Chenoweth, maybe?
Yeah. Ooh, I could be a good one.
I would be happy with that Kristen
Troika. I would fully support that.
Yeah.
Anyway.
But like Malin Ackerman, I'm not all that into Malin Ackerman.
Enough about these women in their underwear. What did you think of the movie?
Did I even mention the underwear? Faison Love in his underwear.
Wow.
That's a sight to behold.
I'm glad that we're not trying to have an actual discussion about this movie.
Here's the thing with the movie. It's funny. It's directed by Peter Billingsley, who most people will remember as Messy Marvin and from The Christmas Story. He played the kid in The Christmas Story.
He played Ralphie.
He played Ralphie. He grew up to be a movie director. And he did Vince Vaughn's Wild West comedy show. He and Vince Vaughn mm-hmm. were real tight.
He and John Favreau are tight. He produced Iron Man.
That's right. And so he directs. I don't know if he's directed anything really hugely big.
I don't think he's ever directed a feature, like a narrative, like a fictional feature. He might have. He did Wild West comedy show, but this is his first like actual movie.
This is the best way I can describe Couples Retreat, and you know. And I may be stepping into a slightly politically incorrect bear trap here, but when has that, you know, scared me off before? Couples Retreat is basically a Tyler Perry movie for white people with one black couple. Because it really has a feel of that movie that Tyler Perry made a couple years ago, Why Did I Get Married?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, although you know, that one took place in like Colorado mountains, this one takes place in a tropical paradise.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same deal where you get four couples with each with their own different problems, and they kind of go to this retreat and they kind of have to face them. It's a lot more lighthearted.
Mm-hmm.
It's not as, you know, Tyler Perry movies tend to be really heavy and, you know, really lather on the melodrama. This isn't melodramatic. It's, mm-hmm. it's meant to be a light comedy, and it's very funny. It's not that sort of laugh out loud crazy comedy that you'd get in Hangover. It's all sort of like dialogue and people talking to each other. It's very situational. It's not great, but it's funny. And if you're in a relationship that you've been in like for a while, or if you happen to be like a guy in his 30s with a 20-year-old girlfriend, that's one of the other characters. You'll find a lot of funniness to it because you'll be like, I can relate to that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's everybody playing their stock characters. John Favreau's stock character, Vince Vaughn's a stock character, Jason Bateman's. Everybody's playing exactly what you'd expect them to play, and it's a lot of uncomfortable scenes and a ton of product placement, which I know is really irritating a lot of critics out there right now.
All right, well, give it a grade.
You know, I'm going to say it kind of rocks because I thought it was funny. It was weird because I was at the screening and I came really super late. I ended up sitting next to this like group of old people, which was odd. And it was like watching it with my mom, which
I see.
Was a little uncomfortable, especially when she like grabbed my knee and whispered soft, sweet nothings in my ear. I could smell the Bengay.
I have nothing left to say to you.
Nothing?
Nope, nothing.
All right. Well, we're going to go to a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about Paranormal Activity and a little bit about, we'll have a little bit of Halloween shenanigans to talk about.
Yay.
When we get back. Yay.
And we're back here on Fat Guys at the Movies, and now that we've gotten that comedy out of the way, it's time to talk about scary stuff.
Comedy. We got that comedy out of the way. You sound like a gangster from the 40s. Like, hey, I don't even know.
Yeah,
see?
See?
Yeah,
got
see?
Got that comedy,
got that
out,
comedy
of the way.
Out of the way. See?
Gonna talk about scary movies now. See?
Yeah.
Anyway. So next up is Paranormal Activity. No! A woman has been targeted by a demon all her life, and her boyfriend is determined to document the events on a video camera.
High def camera on my girlfriend Katie. She thinks there's something in the house. I don't know.
You believe me, right?
I think we're gonna have a very interesting time capturing whatever paranormal phenomena is occurring or is not occurring.
Windows and locks, doors and locks, alarm is on.
Hearing a weird sound.
Something's here. I feel it breathing on me.
out. It's me.
You cannot run from this. It will follow you.
First of all, mega douchebag.
What are you talking? You mean the guy?
The boyfriend.
Yeah.
Why? Why would you? All right. So she's been targeted by a demon all her life. Mm-hmm. The last thing I'm going to do is try and videotape it.
Well, this
the
is...
first thing I'm going to do is probably break up with her and go find a girl who's not being targeted by a demon.
Well, they just think it's a general haunting, and then later on they learn it's a demon. It's.
I don't mean to sound shallow.
Well, you know.
But I'm not into girls who are being haunted.
Yeah. And, I mean, she's cute, but she's not worth the haunting. I'll tell you that. Nice. I mean, she's not like. Nice. It'd be like one thing if it was like, you know, if she was just like smoking hot and she just was gorgeous. Then you'd be like.
She was so unfortunately haunted.
Yeah. Yeah. But this girl, I mean, she's attractive, but she's not. She's not, I'm going to risk my soul for her.
I see.
You know? That's what I think is so funny. He's committed. This is just an interesting relationship issue. Is he's totally committed to videotaping this, but they don't get married. Because it's like, they're like, that's too much of a commitment. But my eternal soul, not a problem.
That's awesome.
Anyways, if you haven't heard about this movie, I'm sure everybody on the internet has, but just in case you haven't,
right.
This is the one
you
that
can
was,
go and demand it.
You could demand it. There's a link up on fatguysofthemovies.com. You can go to the widget.
We got a widget.
Yes.
Awesome.
Demand it. If they reach a million demands, Paramount claims it's going to actually release the movie wide. And this is getting all rumors saying, it's like the next Blair Witch. And it's not the next Blair Witch simply because... Well, it's a better movie than The Blair Witch, and it's better acted. I mean,
oh, nice.
It's still that POV movie, the person holding the camera.
Right.
But
right.
One thing that's nice about it is they're smart enough to do. They don't have them running around. It's not like Cloverfield where they're like, oh my god. You know, it's just it does have that amateur look at times, but it's effectively done, and it's a longer movie. It's like an hour and 45 minutes. I mean, it's not this like 80 minute in and out type thing. It takes a while,
right.
but it's done on the cheap. It was like $11,000 to do, and it's been doing midnight shows, and it's been selling out. I saw it at midnight at a pizza. There's a mini draft house in Columbus called Studio 35 where you can get beer and pizza. Mm-hmm. And so I got beer and pizza and watched it.
Nice.
In a dark.
Were you scared?
Let's put it this way. It takes a lot for a movie to scare me. But
did you have like someone to hold on to or
no? Well, I went with a buddy of mine. But I didn't like squeeze his hand or anything. But what's interesting about Paranormal Activity is it's the kind of movie you got to experience in a big dark theater with a bunch of people. Because or if you
I've
watch
also
it at
heard
home,
if you watch it at home like alone.
Yeah, I will say this: it gets in your head. It will get in your head because. I, like a day or two later, I was up, and I live in a duplex, so sometimes I'm hearing noise next door, and it was late at night, and I'm lying down, and my dog's like walking around, but you don't know if you just hear this moving in the background, so it does kind of freak you out a little bit, like when all the lights are off and you're trying to go to sleep. So,
I see.
You know, it's not as awesome as the hype, but it's still. It's an experience. It is the sort of like that event movie of the year. So
right. Well, that's cool, I guess.
Yeah. It's creepy though.
I didn't see it. It played at Fantastic Fest, and I didn't. I was like, psh, get it out of here.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. You wouldn't be awake. You would be awake now still after Fantastic Fest.
Right. Yeah. I'm not a big fan of the scary stuff. Although I would like to talk about this. Well, give it a grade first, and then I want to talk about something else.
Oh, it rocks.
Anyway. But this whole idea of demanding the movie,
yes.
I think, is interesting. It's an interesting kind of rollout plan that Paramount has been doing that I think is kind of cool in the sense that a lot of indie films are starting to pick it up now. Like, remember that movie Women in Trouble that I saw at South by Southwest that I love, that Carla Gugino porn star movie?
Yeah.
They're doing it now. You can demand Women in Trouble. You can demand Mystery Team, which is the Sundance comedy that I absolutely loved.
Can we demand other things as opposed to just the releases? Can we go out and like demand that Dane Cook make no more movies?
No.
Are we allowed to do that? And can you like start a movement to demand they not make Iron Man 2 in 3D?
I think so far it's just for events.
It's just for
I'm sure we can start petitions. But you know, you go to eventful.com and
I'd like to start demanding movies
it's very
not,
cool.
not come out. Be like, I demand this movie that I really don't want to see. Like, it wouldn't be great if I could have, like, demanded the Time Traveler's Wife not come out, because then I'd be like, I wouldn't have had to go see it at midnight, and I wouldn't have had a waste of the time. I mean, it was an okay movie, but seriously.
Yeah. Anyway.
I think that would be awesome.
So, but here, I mean, I guess that it's just kind of a cool, it's an interesting concept to me.
Yeah.
That now they're, that, and it might catch on, you know, and it allows, I think, Paranormal Activity is, it's owned by a studio, so I mean Paramount could really do a wide release if they wanted to. They're just choosing to go this way.
This is the way they're hyping it. They're going to do a wide release anyways, because the same thing happened with Blair Witch.
But I think it's kind of cool for movies, like smaller movies like Mystery Team, that get a lot of buzz on the internet or get a lot of buzz in from festivals and things like that, for them to get for studios to be able to identify, okay, so like 10,000 people in Atlanta want to see this movie. If we open it in Atlanta, it's going to do well. Or, you know, 5,000 people in Columbus want to see this movie. You know, we can actually open it in Columbus. So I think you might even see, in the best case scenario situation, cities that don't get limited releases.
Yeah.
Possibly getting some of these limited releases based on demand, which I think is a very cool idea. I don't know if it's going to work, but I think it's a very cool idea.
It'll work until, like, everybody demands to see a movie and then no one goes to it, you know?
Yeah.
You know, and what, one thing that is nice about Paranormal
Activity...
Oh, man,
people in Austin are demanding Dane Cook. What?
Oh. Can we, I'd like to just demand that... Yeah, I want to start a petition to demand that he go back to wherever he came... From whence he came.
From whence he came.
Or maybe the demon from Paranormal Activity can come after him. That would be nice. That would make him at least interesting.
God, Dane Cook.
But it is nice to see this, because last year that there was a bunch of like smaller movies that got these small releases and everyone thought they were going to do well, and then they just tanked. Stuff like American Teen and Hamlet 2. These are movies that this sort of demanding thing will last until it doesn't, you know. For whatever reason.
But I think it's cool. I think it might allow movie fans in flyover states to see different kinds of movies in the theater.
Oh, yeah.
If it works, is very cool. Very cool for them. So, yeah. All right. We got 2 minutes left. What do you want to talk about? Halloween?
Yeah, Halloween. Film School Rejects is a lot of people seem to be doing this. It's a big thing to have.
Yeah, they pretty much copied off of us.
Yeah. Actually, I think they copied off of, like, AMC when they would just run off.
Really? They copied off of... No, I mean, they stole it from us. Last year, we did 31 Days of Horror during October. Uh-huh. And this year, every website's doing some kind of 31 Days of Horror or Horror Fest or whatever. No. Film School Rejects, we were there first, obviously.
Yeah, because no one thought of that before 2008.
Yeah, no one would have thought of that before we did it. Anyway, so this year, we actually have kind of a theme going on.
Yeah.
Where we're talking about.
I actually wrote something about it. I wasn't aware there was a theme.
Well, kind of. We're trying to weave in movies that have children in them.
Oh,
like,
okay.
Like Child's Play and Satan's Little Helper, and because if you've seen the banner, it's the it's a picture of
kids.
The kid from Let the Right One In, the kid from The Orphanage, and one of the creepy kids from Rec.
Okay.
So, it's, you know, I don't think we're gonna have like 31 straight days of actual.
There's a lot of kids horror movies though, man.
But there are plenty of them out there, and I'm very glad to see 31 Days of Horror back. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
So
yeah, it's fun.
You're doing something, aren't you?
I did something through Fat Guys of the Movies. I'm watching a horror movie a day, and when appropriate, I'm tweeting about it. Like I saw Paranormal Activity, but I didn't tweet about that. That would have been rude. But
right.
But yeah, so I'm seeing it, and to date, you know what was the most popular one that I did? Van Helsing. Van Helsing got crazy buzz off of it. And maybe it's because I did a little earlier than I normally did, but yeah, I got tons of followers and people responding. There's a lot of emotion about Van Helsing out there.
There's a lot of back and forth, I believe.
Yes, yeah. But yeah, so I'm doing a bunch of them. You can go to Fat Guys at the Movies. The list is there. It's getting altered due to some release issues, but
nice.
It's relatively close.
Anyway, speaking of emotion, it's time to take a break. We'll be right back.
the hard road. 33 years of tough luck. 44 skulls buried in the ground, crawling down through the muck. Oh, yeah.
And welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies. Here we are in the infamous middle segment where we talk about box office and we lay down a Fat Guy 5. Isn't that awesome?
Is it really that infamous, though?
It's infamous.
I don't know. I'm not exactly...
It is so famous, it is infamous.
I'm not really sure that's true.
Do you know what movie
However,
that's from? Do you know what movie that's from, though? It is so famous, it's infamous.
No idea.
It's from The Three Amigos.
Oh, a great movie, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
I can't believe I didn't know that, except for the fact that I haven't seen that movie since the last time it was on TBS.
Well, and I also flummoxed your main squeeze with one of my tweets. That sounds really dirty.
I don't even know what you're talking about at this point.
I made a comment. There was a line in Shaun of the Dead, which I recently live tweeted, and she likes my live tweets. She's got to distract her from you, I guess. And
I know, right?
And there's a line where Simon Pegg says, you know, does anyone want a peanut? And so I said, what other line? What other movie is that from? What did that become famous from? Do you know what it is?
No.
The Princess Bride.
Oh, another good one.
Yeah. So that flummoxed, meaning confused or you know.
I see. Yeah. I see. So. Shaun of the Dead. Yeah, that was on your list, right? Your horror list.
Yeah, yeah. Shaun of the Dead.
I'm looking at it right now. I'm quite excited about this.
Quite excited about my list of movies.
Your list of movies. I can't wait to see what happens when you live tweet martyrs.
Yeah, there are some that some of the people that I know on Twitter are just putting out there just to offend me. Try to offend me because I
know they're trying to like easily. Just they're trying to take you over the edge, but they don't understand what they're getting into, do they?
That's right. Yes. No, they don't. So anywho, let's talk about the box office.
Yeah, we got some box office action last week, right?
Zombieland 1, which I think is, did I read somewhere that that's the highest grossing zombie movie ever?
I don't know, but I'm going to investigate that fact right now.
I think it is.
It is the eighth highest zombie movie. Well, eighth highest overall.
Well, gross, but I'm talking about opening weekend. That's the highest opening weekend.
No, the Dawn of the Dead, the 2004 version of Dawn of the Dead, did $26 million.
Oh,
but it's very close.
That came close. So
it would be the second highest.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah, yeah, I knew it beat out all the Resident Evil films.
Resident Evil, the dead movies, even Shaun of the Dead, which was kind of a smaller. It really gained cult status.
Yeah. Here's a fun one. Do you know what the number two highest grossing zombie movie of all time is?
Probably something I'm not going to be happy about.
Death Becomes Her, at $58 million.
Can you count that as a zombie movie?
I suppose you can.
That's not a zombie, but that'd be like saying The Exorcist is a love story.
Maybe.
Maybe not. I don't know.
Anyway.
Or Van Helsing is a love story.
Well, some people loved it.
I loved it. It's an awesome movie.
But Dawn of the Dead, the Zack Snyder version of Dawn of the Dead, is the highest grossing zombie movie of all time.
With all the zombies with the cut, rippling chest strength.
Right. What I find...
Okay. Let's move on. I think we're boring the audience.
No, we're totally boring people. Claudio the Chance of Meatballs finished second, $15 million. The Toy Story double feature.
I saw that. I took my kids to see that this week. That's a fantastic experience.
Isn't it? It's all in the details, I would argue.
It's awesome. And what's neat about it is they didn't go up and clean up... They didn't clean up the textures or anything from the first one. It's interesting watching them back-to-back on a big screen like that, how much the just even between the two movies, which are only a couple of years, how much the technology had improved. Excuse me, from one to the next.
Yeah. Yep.
As we're driving home, my son looks at me. He's like, "Can we go to the store and get Buzz Lightyear and Woody toys?" And
oh,
I'm like,
nice.
"Wow, you're just falling right into that."
See, that's what Disney wants. They want your kids to want the toys.
Well, we have them. It's hysterical because our Buzz Lightyear, his arm has come off. And in the first movie where Buzz's arm falls off when he jumps off and tries to fly, my son leans over to me and he goes, "That happened to our Buzz."
Aww.
It's so cute.
That's cute.
Yeah.
The Invention of Lying finished fifth, and Whippet finished sixth. Those are the other two openers.
That's kind of sad to see Whippet do as poorly as it did.
Yeah, I'm not really sure if that's a terrible thing, though. It was a kind of a cheap movie to make. So, I mean, it only cost $15 million, so $5 million on opening weekend is not awful.
Yeah, I mean, it'll make money. It'll profit. It'll be like a Kevin Smith film where it eventually actually profits.
Right, when you throw things. Drew Barrymore's career as a filmmaker is not dead.
Yeah. I guess. Now, if it cost her $60 million to make it, if this would have been like Australia, $150 million to make Whippet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it would
have been. Because I wonder. Where would the money go for that? Capitalism, A Love Story, and its expansion tanked. It got beat by Whippet.
Yeah, it's not doing so well. Still only in less than 1,000 theaters, though. So
it was beat by Fame. Fame beat it.
You'll have that. Yeah.
No, but it's the least performing documentary of Michael Moore since Bowling for Columbine, which he won the Academy Award for, but when it was released, he was still kind of like outside of the mainstream.
Yeah, nobody really knew who he was back then.
It was his, sounds like swine flu's attacking you from behind.
Somewhere.
But it was Bowling for Columbine, and then it was his Oscar speech that kind of really propelled him into the mainstream, which I'm not surprised. I mean, whether or not you like Michael Moore, documentaries in general, they don't have a mainstream appeal. You know, you get these that come out, and then they don't. So I think after Fahrenheit 9/11 came out, everyone was like, oh, Michael Moore, he makes documentaries that are going to make $100 million. And I'm like, no, he won't. And then when he made Sicko did well for a documentary, but it didn't make what Fahrenheit 9/11 did because it was just another documentary. I mean, Fahrenheit 9/11 kind of, the planets aligned for him for that movie.
Right. Well, I mean, he's the most prolific, box office, financially prolific documentarian of all time.
He's a capitalist.
That's not exactly saying much.
Yeah, but
because
yeah,
documentaries don't make a lot of money as it is.
I will say Capitalism was better than Slacker Uprising, which he didn't even release in the theaters.
Fair enough.
So
okay, so this week I think it's pretty safe to say Couples Retreat is. I mean, it's Couples Retreat and Zombieland. That's pretty much it.
Couples Retreat will win because even if Zombieland, does 70% of its, it's still not going to make $20 million. You know, it's.
Yeah,
and we're getting more horror movies coming out, so
you're getting
in number two,
right? It'll be number two, and then is Toy Story still running this week? Right? Is
it
unlimited still? I wouldn't be surprised if that stays up there.
I wouldn't be surprised if Toy Story suffers very little drop.
Right.
I think it's going to do very comparable this weekend, because when I took my kids, I took them like on a Wednesday night, and it was still had some people in the audience. And I think Paranormal Activity is expanding into some other cities. It's like made like $500,000, but it's only played in like six cities. I mean, it's one of the most successful limited releases, and like it's always past midnight. So they only do like one show a day. So it's done. Mm-hmm. Every show it's ever had has sold out pretty much. Every show in Columbus it did sold out.
Right.
So.
Well, there you go.
So that'll do well. That'll show up. Mm-hmm. Let's do a Fat Guy 5. Or unless you need a nap.
No, do you need a good
nap? It's cool. It's chilly here. I don't know if it's like in Austin, but in Columbus, it is chilly.
It's warm here.
I'm like Flower from Bambi at the end where he's all snuggled up in his
I think it's 107 here. I haven't been outside yet today, but I'm pretty sure that's what it is.
And they're not even doing the lawn outside your
They were earlier. We got lucky. Oh, okay. We started right at the right time.
Cool.
Anyway, so this week's Fat Guy 5 is 5 fun films about paranormal activity.
And Ghost Dad is not on the list.
I don't know why Ghost Dad isn't on the list. That's an early honorable mention.
Regardless of what one of my tweeples, Mr. Pookie Black, that's his name. He threw out some love for Ghost Dad, and
Love a little Ghost Dad. We have to eat the pudding. Anyway.
Do they have pudding in Ghost Dad?
No, but Bill Cosby's in it. The Sixth Sense is number is our first.
General Pudding Pups.
Yeah, exactly. The first up is The Sixth Sense, which has all kinds of paranormal crap going on. I don't know if I should spoil it or not.
Someone sees. It's just somebody sees dead people. There's so dead
little,
people.
Little
in the
kid
movie.
Sees dead people, and Bruce Willis and stuff. It's quite a paranormal movie.
Dude, it's 10 years old. If you haven't seen Sixth Sense by now, spoiler alert.
Bruce Willis is dead.
Bruce Willis is dead. And Donnie Wahlberg is the kid from
Donnie Wahlberg is also dead.
Yes.
Anyway, moving on.
The next one is The Exorcist, which has a lot to relate to Paranormal Activity because it's a demon targeting a woman. Only this one, it's a girl. Exorcist still scares the poop out of me.
There's no crucifix masturbation scene in Paranormal Activity, is there?
No, but I'll tell you what's really funny is when we were the friend I went to Paranormal Activity with, went to high school with him, and we were talking about this time when we did a senior skip day and we skipped school, and there was we watched The Exorcist. We rented it and watched it. And there's a girl who was like, you know, like a really like conservative Christian who was with us, and she wasn't happy about it, and it was really funny watching her reaction during the crucifix masturbation scene.
Nice.
She looked really pissed off. She didn't leave. I'm like, it's all got a good message. It's a positive religious message.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, stab. Anyways.
Anyway.
You do the next one. This is your
Oh, the next one is Ghost. This is a little Patrick Swayze.
Yeah.
I was reminded of Ghost this past week when I saw Ninja Assassin. And the ninjas, when they moved and it was, like, dark outside, they looked like the things from Ghost that came and dragged you into the darkness. And I thought that was silly, but it fit really well in Ghost. So,
yeah,
you know.
That's my impression of the bad, evil things.
I don't know what to say to you sometimes. You're really just not... Nope, nothing.
That was...
The next one, you take the next one, but do the last one. Cause I
No. You take the next one. This one's yours.
Well, the next one's Poltergeist. I was reminded if anybody watched South Park this week of the little lady from Poltergeist, with the high pitched voice. Yeah. This was a movie that totally ruined all other scary movies for me for some reason when I was little. I have not seen it since I was like 7, and it scared the crap out of me, and I don't remember any of it. And I've blocked it out. I just know that it's just bad. No, don't see it. Like
maybe I can find on eBay the clown doll, and I can send that to you for Christmas.
I'm sure that will bring back suppressed memories, and I'll go on like a killing spree or something.
Well, let's go. The number one for this one for me is The Haunting, not the remake. Please, not the remake. The remake sucked. Jean Dubont is a terrible director. The original,
isn't it,
by Robert Wise. Didn't I say Jan DeBont?
You said John.
No, I said Jan.
It's Jan.
I know it's Jan. He yawned. Anyway. You're going back. No.
It's actually the expression you make when you see his movies.
Exactly. It's a review and a name. Anyways, the original by Robert Wise, based on Shirley Jackson's The Haunting of Hill House, a fantastic movie. It reminds me a lot of Paranormal Activity, the movie, because it has a lot of very subtle things going on, and stuff doesn't really happen on screen, and that's actually more powerful.
I can dig it.
So there. Dig it, baby.
Anyway, when we come back, we're going to wrap you up and stuff. And we're wrapping you up here on Fat Guys at the Movies. We've come down the home stretch. We've talked about scary stuff, Paranormal Activity. We've talked about the Couples Retreat, which also, I believe, I've heard is kind of scary. okay. And it's time once again for the world famous DVD roundup. And I'm going first.
Yes.
Because I don't know. Because I'm handicapped this week by my sickness.
Although and you got plenty of DVD get to part picks. Close.
I do. I have a ton of DVD picks this week. Lots of good stuff. Did I mention The Wizard of Oz on Blu-ray last week?
No, we talked about that last week.
It's awesome. We got it, finally. Yeah. I bought it for my lady for our four-month anniversary, and because I'm a nice guy.
Oh, you're setting a bad precedent buying four-month anniversary gifts. I know, right? Wow.
It's really awesome. I bought it for myself. Let's not lie to ourselves. Snow White on Blu-ray /DVD/digital copy is fantastic.
Yes. It's like 8 million hours of extra footage and stuff like that on that.
Right. Trick or Treat. Finally, out on DVD. I've heard that people are having trouble finding it on DVD. I know I went to a Best Buy this week, and they were totally sold out of it.
I think, and there is a shortage of product, actually. I think there's a lot of critics that didn't get sent it yet.
I haven't gotten a copy.
I hear that they will be coming.
Yeah, eventually, which is sad because this movie is awesome. I saw Fantastic Fest on the big screen. It's an awesome, awesome movie. We talked about it last week.
So it's fun. And this is what I like about it. It's not terribly unpredictable. You see everything's coming a mile away, especially if you've seen enough horror movies. Mm-hmm. But it's one of those few movies that really gets you in the... It really has the essence of Halloween. Like the original Halloween.
It gets the spirit of Halloween.
Yeah. The original Halloween makes you're like, oh, this, you know, it feels like Halloween. And this one really works that way too.
Right. Also on my list this week, Assassination of a High School President, mostly because I believe that you should buy it because my quote is on the DVD.
Oh, yeah, I heard about that.
My name is on the back of the DVD.
Infamous quotes like, this movie's so awesome, I'm going to poop myself?
No, it's like a sexy and intelligent high school movie. It's the lamest possible quote.
You don't know your quote from memory? Shame
it is
on you.
The lamest possible quote.
What kind of narcissist are
you? That I could ever ask for on a DVD, but it's a quote on a DVD and it's a movie I really like, so
yeah.
There you go. And then Anvil, The Story of Anvil, another movie that is just rocks.
Awesome.
Just literally rocks.
Yes.
So go
buy
that
too. I love those guys. They're awesome.
Yeah.
Is it my turn?
Yeah, dude, go for it.
All right, you know, I'm going to throw one down that no one expects. Ally McBeal, The Complete Series.
Mm.
That's actually a good show. Have you watched it? That's right. I just recommended.
Robert Downey Jr. used to be on Ally McBeal. He was in the final season.
Yeah.
I used to actually watch it all the time. Peter McNichol was awesome in that show.
It's a good show. And yeah, I know I'm recommending
Jane Krakowski from 30 Rock.
Oh, she's a hottie.
That was where she started.
Yeah, and Calista Flockhart looks good in it, actually, as opposed to Brothers and Sisters, where she looks a little old.
It was before she got really sickly.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I love the fact that she wore, like, miniskirts to her law office. There needs to be more of that going on. Although, I don't want my lawyer to show up in miniskirts, because he'd look weird. Anywho,
fair enough.
Another one I want to recommend is Scare Tactics, the uncensored first part of season 3. Have you ever watched Scare Tactics?
No, but I heard Tracy Morgan's in it.
It's with Tracy Morgan. Yeah, no, I don't like him as a comedian or anything, but I will say his lot in life, he was born to host Scare Tactics because he just needs to have the dumb TV show where he just comes in and says things. Originally, this is the thing, originally it was hosted by Shannon Doherty, but she was so bad they replaced her with Tracy Morgan.
What an upgrade.
But it's basically a candid camera, only it's like really scary things. Instead of somebody be like, oh, a naked woman comes in and dances around at the preschool or something, it's like there's like one scene where this guy comes into he works in a mortuary, and they come in and he's like, oh no, I'm harvesting your girlfriend's organs.
Nice.
And what's really funny is it's an interesting study in human nature, because you see some people, you see who has the flight response and who has the fight response. You see a lot of people get really quiet and they kind of go in the background and maybe they start to cry. And then there are the people that like they're ready to go on the offensive. Mm-hmm. And those are the fun ones to watch, because the people doing the joke are like, they're like seeing how far they can make it go to get the good TV out of it. But they want to say, no, you're on Scare Tactics before they get killed. And I'm so surprised that no one's ever gotten murdered on this show, because, you know, some people like it's, I mean, there are intense situations where they're like, oh, yeah, I'm going to murder you. I'm going to blow you up with a bomb. Mm-hmm. And then somebody that attacks. It's actually really funny. And then they always have an accomplice, and the accomplice is always like, yeah, I wanted to put them on Scare Tactics because they think they're not scared at anything, and I just want to make them cry. That's what everyone says. I just want to make them cry.
Like, I see.
It's terrible, friends. Other ones to mention, you got Nip Tuck Season 5 Part 2. You got Red Dwarf. There's a Red Dwarf movie if you like that show on BBC. Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory on Blu-ray. Did you get that?
Oh, that was a really good one.
Yeah.
It came with the booklet. I dug it.
Yeah, and you got the Esther Williams collection. I'm sure you ran out and got that.
No.
That's apparently really popular. Not for me. There's
with
also
old
not,
people.
Not Quite Hollywood, which is a documentary.
Oh, awesome DVD.
Yeah, I just got it, so I haven't watched it.
I can't wait. I have to order it, but yeah. I can't wait.
There's a couple more. There's one called Mirage Men.
Movie. Marco Zaror, cool.
Aussie and Ted's Great Adventure, which is kind of like a kid's movie with dogs, which is cute. And then The Stinkers.
Stinkers.
My Life in Ruins, Year One, and Dance Flick.
Yeah, Year One, definitely a stinker.
Yeah.
So, anyway, wrapping up our review time, Couples Retreat, you said, what, kind of rocks?
Kind of rocks.
And then Paranormal Activity?
Rocks.
Next week, we got Where the Wild Things Are, Law Abiding Citizen, and The Stepfather. In the meantime, head over to FatGuysMovies.com, and we'll see you next week.
Ta-ta.
Ooh, that was a good one.